Hospital mortality is under increasing scrutiny due to public reporting. Individual states report mortality for selected conditions and procedures. Nonprofit business coalitions such as the Leapfrog Group and entities such as the U.S. News and World Report and Vizient's Quality and Accountability Performance Scorecard released rankings for mortality on a yearly basis, in addition to the metrics that we get from CMS. Mortality reduction is usually a compounded issue encompassing multiple areas that need to be addressed holistically to make dramatic improvements. Welcome to Modern Practice. I'm your host, Dr. Tom Villanueva. Joining us today is Dr. Steve Muir, Executive Principal, Data Science and Member Insights at Vizient. Steve, welcome to the program.
Great to be with you, Tom.
So tell us a little about your background and what you do here at Vizient.
Well, I've been at Vizient now for 15 years. My current role is to work with hospital physician and quality leaders to help them use data, particularly from the clinical database, to help with performance improvement. I've essentially been tied to the hip of the clinical database for the last 15 years. Performance improvement in healthcare for 30 years. I have a PhD where my dissertation is in quality improvement implementation in hospitals. And before coming to Vizient, worked for five different systems, including roles as a chief quality officer and vice president of operations and performance improvement.
So Steve, you mentioned about the Vizient Clinical Database, or the CDB. This actually represents over 800 organizations and over 95% of all our academic medical centers in our country. So what does the impact of mortality have in this country's scorecards, if you will, and where do you see many of our organizations heading when it comes to mortality?
Well, it's a great question because mortality has always been seen as a quality indicator. And when you take a look at mortality, and what we do is we track mortality on an inpatient basis because we don't really understand and know when patients die after they leave the hospital. There are some organizations that capture that information, but it's a little sketchy sometimes. It's a little bit difficult to be able to understand exactly how they passed away. So we look at quality metric as inpatient mortality. And many organizations have, in the past 40 or 50 years, when they look at mortality, they see it just as harm. You differentiate yourself from one another in terms of observed mortality and how you look at yourself in terms of harm. But many organizations have realized that there's just as much of an effect of data quality and throughput, for example, as there is in terms of harm when we're talking about inpatient mortality. The performance of an organization right now on scorecards, on national scorecards and in our database really has as much to do, sometimes more to do with data quality and with throughput than it does harm.
You know, Steve, I've been doing a lot of work in this area for Vizient, and I actually look forward to sharing some of our insights. So the obvious impulse is to consider the effects of the pandemic resulting in worse mortality. But you mentioned there's even more compounded reasons behind that.
Yeah, absolutely. What's interesting when you take a look at the pandemic mortality performance of our members, if you've done well previous in risk-adjusted mortality, if your performance is good in risk-adjusted mortality previous to the pandemic, then it turns out that there's a very high correlation that you're going to do well with the pandemic risk-adjusted mortality, which really tells us then that, again, it's multifactorial. Mortality is multifactorial, and the organizations who are doing well in a lot of those factors are the ones doing well, no matter if it's COVID deaths or sepsis deaths or pre or post pandemic.
Can you give us a little bit more detail when it comes to what you mean by throughput?
Yeah, absolutely. In terms of throughput, you would think right away of long lengths of stay, because the longer you stay in a hospital, the higher the chance that you have of dying in that hospital. And that is absolutely the case. And when we talk to organizations about throughput and about length of stay, we're really trying to get them to think about what their relationship is with their post-acute care providers, what their relationships are in terms of with their SNFs and their hospice units. Because what a lot of organizations are starting to think about when it comes to mortality is that the inpatient side of the hospital should not be the place to be for the patient to die.
I also found there's an opportunity in reexamining many of our organization's mortality review process. It's kind of, are they using data, if you will, for the purposes of performance improvement? And what are your thoughts behind that?
Yeah, Tom, this is an interesting one, because if you go back to what I said earlier, that there's multi-factors in terms of inpatient mortality, and there's really three categories. Data quality, which does include documentation and coding, but it also includes inclusions and exclusions, the throughput and the harm. What we've done in the past number of years in the American healthcare system is when we look at mortality review, we are solely focused on looking at harm. What I encourage our members to do when they're looking at mortality review is to place every one of those deaths into one of those three buckets. Is this a opportunity for us in terms of data quality? Is this an opportunity for us in terms of throughput? And is this an opportunity for us in terms of harm? Because when you take a look at mortality review in the past, when we're only focusing on harm, 95% of the mortalities are being put aside as saying this patient should have died. But what we really want to be able to do is learn from all of the patients that die in the hospital. And so we really want them to think about that in terms of all three of those buckets and placing 95% of those into one of those three buckets.
See, that makes a lot of sense to me. So let's break it down. We talked about documentation. I often like to remind non-clinicians that CDI is not really clinically intuitive. Most physicians write notes for other physicians to read and not coders. What are your thoughts behind that?
Absolutely. But I will say that the database, the clinical database, has really helped to bridge that gap because data without the ability to drill down substantially is useless. And when you're taking a look at risk-adjusted mortality in the clinical database, there are two ways that you're going to be able to improve your risk-adjusted mortality. You can lower the O, the observed, or you can increase the E, the expected. And increasing the E is really a function of documentation and coding. And many of our organizations that have been in the CDB for many years have really taken advantage of the ability to drill down very substantially into the clinical database to understand what comorbid conditions they may not be capturing that other organizations are and turning that into higher expected values. And so what I've seen from organizations over time in the clinical database is that their expected values increase to the point where they feel comfortable that we're absolutely capturing their severity.
Actually, I could not agree with you more. In fact, the bulk of the work that we're doing when it comes to mortality and documentation is narrowing that gap between the observed and expected mortality in reference to documentation. So what are other areas in documentation that actually affect mortality scores?
Well, one of those is actually the principal diagnosis or the first diagnosis that the coder puts on the patient's bill. That is the diagnosis that directs that patient into what's called a MSDRG, which is how we in the American healthcare system get paid. And that's also how we can differentiate and compare one patient against another in the clinical database. And so what I'm finding is that there are a number of what I'm calling low severity base MSDRGs. These are base MSDRGs where we don't see a lot of deaths happening across the database. Let me just give you an example. Esophagitis is one of those. But we see that organizations who are putting patients into esophagitis and having those patients die while they're in the hospital are seeing a very high, what's called an ODE ratio or an index observed to expected ratio. Again, that is the risk adjusted ratio. Anything above one is going to be worse than expected. Anything below one is going to be better than expected. And these are ODE ratios for an individual that might get up to 4 or 5 or 6. And those are basically because they're in very low severity base MSDRGs. Their expected values are never going to get high. When you take a look at the other comorbid conditions that are being captured for that patient, they might have acute kidney failure. They might have even sepsis as present on admission. And so the question would be is why aren't we capturing that as the principal diagnosis, which would automatically increase the expected value? It would lower the ODE ratio. And by the way, it would also bring in more revenue for that patient. And the insurance company would not be flagging that patient as a patient that died in a low severity base MSDRG.
You know, Steve, I couldn't agree more. In fact, that's part of the work I do as well as helping my colleagues come to that aha moment. You can tell docs until you're blue in the face, but unless you actually help them come to that aha moment, that even though clinically the intuitive part is when I'm writing a note that my colleague will put all that together, I actually have to code for that. I have to document all these other comorbidities because it reflects better on the work that I'm doing, but also it actually justifies the additional work and efforts that my nursing staff is doing and also my hospital is doing to represent truly how ill the patients I'm treating. Well, that's all the time we have for this episode. I want to thank Dr. Steve Muir for joining us. If you'd like to contact Steve, we put his email address in the resource section of our podcast page. We'll return next week to continue our discussion. Also, if you're interested in learning more about our mortality reduction program, please note my email will also be in the resource center as well. If you have any additional questions pertaining to modern practice or simply want to send me a comment, please contact me at our email. At Modern Practice Podcast at VizientInc.com. And please join us for other Modern Practice podcasts on the Vizient Medical Leadership Channel. Subscribe today, like us, or send us your comments. Also, please listen and subscribe to SG2 Perspectives, the podcast on the latest in healthcare strategies. I'm Dr. Tom Villanueva. Thanks for listening.